Good morning. This week we're going to take a break from the many teachings on grace we've had. We'll pick that up again when we meet in person next week in Southern Virginia. But today I think we'll take a break and look at God's faithfulness. Many of these verses we've read before, but there are so many things in the world that are fickle and changeable. And you read the news and one day things are going one way, the next day they're going the other way. And it's sometimes hard to figure out what's really happening. And that's just part of life. It's always been that way. But God is not changeable. He's faithful. Remember that verse, I am the Lord, I change not. He is very faithful to love his people and take care of them. So let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And, here in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and in verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord, what? Because the Lord loved you, and because he would or wanted to keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So that's why God did it. And we know that that's why God does things, because he loves us and wants to keep his promises. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the what? Faithful God. He's faithful. When he says something, he's reliable. We can trust him. We can rely on him because he's the faithful God. So again, verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant, that's his agreements. He makes a covenant, an agreement, and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. How long? To 1,000 generations. And that's important to know, because there may be times when we think all this power of God stuff worked great in the Old Testament or the Gospels, but, you know, it doesn't work anymore. Well, that's not true. Because he keeps his promises to 1,000 generations. Now, most times when people count generations, they count 20 years per generation, because that's usually the earliest most people, at least in our society, have kids, is around 20. So if he's going to do it for 1,000 generations, that's 20,000 years. So if he can be faithful for 20,000 years, and like all that stuff you read with Elijah and all those great miracles, that was somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500, maybe 2,000 years ago. I mean, I'm sorry, more than that, maybe 4,000 years ago, 5,000 at the most. And all the stuff we read in the Gospels, that was about 2,000 years ago. So if God can keep his promises for 20,000 years, he's still got another 15,000 years to keep his promises from when this was written. So the Lord God is the faithful God, which keepeth covenant mercy with them that love him. See, that's all that required. People have to love God. People put all the emphasis on all the laws, and they are important. But the main thing God wants is for people to love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Notice it says, first love him. That's what he wants. The commandments are important. But the first thing he wants people to do is love him. Let's go to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. And Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord. And the word mercy is often translated loving kindness or faithful love. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches how far? Under the clouds. That's pretty far. His faithfulness reaches all the way to the clouds. It's not just a little bit, it's a whole bunch. In Psalm 92, another favorite of ours, at least of mine, and you guys probably enjoy it too. Psalm 92, and verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing to be thankful and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. riding along in the car, or taking a walk, or working at home, or whatever you're doing, you just thank God. I just do that every day. I thank God that I could wake up. Thank God that I had a cup of coffee. Thank God that I can read the Bible. Thank God that I can speak in tongues. Thank God that I have a roof over my head and the heating works as it gets colder outside. Even the hot water works. I mean, these are all things that people didn't have 200 years ago. And we just have them every day. And I just thank God. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. In verse 2, to show forth or declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. We've talked about this before. What a great way to live. Whatever you're doing in the morning, whether you're staying at home or getting in the car or doing something else, going to work, going to a project, going shopping, whatever you're doing, you just start out declaring that God loves me and he's going to take care of me. And then at the end of the day, when you're settling down, you just remember all the great things God did for you. And sometimes they're big, dramatic things, and sometimes they're simple things. The car worked. I flipped the switch, and the lights went on in the house. So many things that because of God's faithfulness we have. And sometimes it's a huge miracle, but most times it's just the little things in life. But because of God's faithfulness to take care of us, we have all these things. And look, you can do it, verse 3, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery. If you happen to have a psaltery or a harp, you can praise God with that. If not, you can just speak in tongues in your heart. Verse 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. But we just talk every day about how he loves us and he's faithful to take care of us. See, we can focus on that. We all know there are plenty of people that focus on all kinds of other things, most of it negative. Most of it about how terrible this people or that group was. And people can focus on that. And there are times you want to, you know, God said, go get rid of the Amalekites or the Moabites or the Philistines. But again, that was a different administration when they were running around attacking armies. In the Gospels, about all Jesus Christ ever said about all the governmental problems in his day were, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And in the first century church, about all the epistles say are, pray for leaders and all that are in authority. But they had huge opportunities to get mad at everything and everybody had they wanted to. Their society and their government was much more messed up than the ones we've lived in. Yet, they didn't. They looked to God. They talked about his love and his faithfulness. So, we can spend our days worrying about what everybody else is worrying about, or we can spend our days being thankful that God loves us and takes care of us. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Deep thoughts. All right, let's go to Psalm 108. A lot of psalms today. Psalm 108. And verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. We're focused on God, and we won't move. My heart is fixed, I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy, which again can be translated steadfast love or loving kindness. Your loving kindness, verse 4, is great above the heavens. Now we're going farther than the clouds. I mean, the clouds are pretty far up. They can be, what, 10,000 feet up, maybe? But when you talk to heavens, now you're talking 10,000 light years or some huge number we can't even imagine. We've never found the end of the universe. And that's how great his loving kindness is. So anytime you think you've pushed God too far, he doesn't love you anymore. Nope. His loving kindness is higher than the heavens. Verse 4, thy loving kindness is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. But again, from the point of view of a person in that day and time looking up, the heavens, the clouds, it's all pretty much the same thing. It's way up there. It's with our new telescopes that we're finding other stuff. They probably didn't know about all that, but they could look up and see the clouds and see the stars. And they understood that that was a long way away. Verse 4, thy mercy is above the heavens, thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Verse 6, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and answer me. What a great prayer. Again, there are so many things in the life of David the psalmist that he could have complained about. I mean, he's being attacked by the Philistines. Two of his own sons tried to kill him. All kinds of problems. But what does he do? He just says, Lord, give me a hand. People are bugging me. And we can do the same thing. You can get all mad about everything. Or you can simply ask God for help. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 86. Psalm 119 and verse 86. Long psalm that we're familiar with. Every verse mentioning the Word of God in one way, shape, or form. Psalm 119 and verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. See, a lot of things you and I might say or somebody else might say, or they may change their mind. They may backtrack. They may lie. Circumstances may be different. So what they wanted to do, they can't carry through on. But not God. All his commandments are faithful. He can back them up. So verse 86, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongly. Help thou me. See, many people are in that situation. David certainly was. They persecute me wrongly. Help thou me. He could have spent his whole life and his whole day just complaining and moaning about the fact that people attack him wrongfully, but instead he simply says, they persecute me wrongly, Lord. Give me a hand. And that's what he did. Then in verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto what? All generations. So he was faithful to take care of David. He was faithful to take care of, in the time of Hezekiah, protect them from the Assyrians. He was faithful, with Jesus Christ. The crowd wanted to kill him, and he just walked through the crowd and got out of there. God sort of hit him, and you can go on and on. God's faithfulness is unto all generations. Verse 90, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Now, that's a pretty good track record. God established the earth. Now, we don't know exactly, but, geologists say it was 4.5 billion years ago. And, of course, it was revamped in the first chapter of Genesis, which was roughly 6,000 years ago. But he established it 4.5 billion years ago, according to geologists. Imagine that. And it still abideth. What have you and I done that's lasted 4.5 billion years? I'm happy when I go in and get my oil changed and get my tires rotated. I'm happy if the car lasts another year or maybe another 5 years. The last 10 years, that's amazing. Well, God does stuff that lasts billions of years. So his faithfulness is unto all generations. He established the earth and it abideth. Let's go to Romans 12, just in case you thought he was only faithful in the Old Testament period. Romans 12 and verse 10. In Romans 12:10, now this is one encouraging us to be faithful because God is so faithful. Here we are encouraged to be faithful. So Romans 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving in the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, which is often translated as mental pressure. We're going to have mental pressure, but we should be patient in it. Patient in tribulation. Where were we? Yes, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation or mental pressure, continuing instant in prayer. And that continuing instant we've talked about can also be translated steadfast in prayer, faithful in prayer, persevering in prayer, or being constant in prayer. Point is, we stick with it. We don't just pray once and quit. We keep praying, and we never quit, because as we pray, that opens the doors for God to do great things for us and for others. Continuing instant in prayer. Then verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, and bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Reminds me of that great line in our prayer list where we're praying for the people that are attacking our website. We could get all mad and, try to drag in the FBI and, spend thousands of dollars on, anti-hacking software. And it might make a difference. Probably wouldn't. I don't know. Brian would know more about that than I would. But the point is, Brian does what he can as far as security measures. And then we pray for them. Because obviously, if they're so messed up that they want to attack our website, they need help. So we pray for them. I do the same thing if somebody cuts me off on the highway. If I see an ambulance or a fire truck go by, they're going somewhere to help somebody, so I pray for them. It's just a matter of what attitude you want to have in life. Whether you want to always be negative and complaining and, it's amazing when you get around people that they're just mad about everything. And it doesn't do anybody any good. It's one thing to be aware of a problem and go try to fix it. It's another thing to just basically sit around and whine. And there's no value to that, which is why we don't, in our fellowship, sit around and whine because we hate the Baptists and we hate this other group and these Roman Catholics are terrible. Oh, forget about it. The Muslims or the Hindus or somebody. We don't do that. We look to God and we pray for people. And if I hear about somebody that really doesn't know God's word, I pray for them. I just pray that God will work in their hearts and they will learn and grow and move ahead with God. And same with anybody that bugs you. Just pray. So verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And 1 Corinthians 10:13. So that's our challenge. Our challenge is to be faithful in prayer. Because God's faithful with everything. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 13. There had no... this is a great one. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And that's a great thing. Because again, you run into people that just think, oh, I got it so tough. Oh, the devil's always after me. Oh, boy. A lot of persecution. And that could be true. But even if it is, you got to accept that there is persecution, accept that there's a problem, but then go to God for help. Not just sit there and, talk about how persecuted you are and everybody else has it easy. Because look what it says here, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what? Faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able. He just won't let you get in a mess that you can't handle. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. He'll have an exit ramp for you, that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that great? So in your daily life, when you have a tough day, something goes wrong, well, it happens with everybody. It may happen differently in somebody else's life, but everybody has similar challenges. But we just look to God because he's the one that's faithful and he's the one that'll help you get out of it. And we've talked about this before. I've found so many cases. You get in a problem and you want to figure out who to blame and who's wrong. And who's attacking you and why, what went wrong, and blah, blah, blah. And that doesn't help. But when you finally just admit, I got a problem, I need help, and you start praying and asking God for help, that's when things start to turn around. But dwelling on the problem or some person or situation that may have goofed you up or dwelling on your own shortcomings, that's not going to help. But asking God for help, that is the thing that will help. And 2 Thessalonians 3:3, another great section, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is what? Faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. What a great thing. He's the one that will establish you. He's the one that will keep you from evil. Other people may help. Other things you do may help. Other organizations or companies or something may do something to help you, and that's wonderful. But at the end of the day, it's the Lord who's faithful. He's going to establish you, and he's going to keep you from evil. So it comes back to what we always talk about. You do your best, and God will do the rest. You simply do all you can. You work with the people you can work with, the situations you can work with, the resources you have in every part of your life to do your best. But then realize human activity has a limit, but God has no limit. So at the end of the day, he's the one that's faithful. He's the one that will establish you. He's the one that will keep you from evil. And that's what we look to and pray. And then one more challenge for us. We already read that we're to be faithful in prayer. Well, here's another thing for us to do in Titus. God's the one that's faithful, but then when we're faithful in response, that's when we get great answers to prayer. Titus 1, verse 9, holding fast the what? Faithful word, as he hath been taught. God's word is faithful. You hear things from other people. I mean, everybody's a philosopher. Everybody's got an opinion. And I mentioned before, I've been surprised for years how I see people who make up some philosophy or approach to life and then defend it as though it were holy writ. You know, they just can't back down, but they don't realize that it's just something they made up. And there may be some value to it. You know, we all have things we do. We all learn from experiences. We all have sort of wisdom based on the years we've lived and the things we've done. But if it's just something that's your opinion based on your experience, it might help somebody. And that's great. But don't treat it like it's the Word of God and it's infallible. And I do the same thing when I chat with people. They're in a situation, I say, well, I found doing such and such has been helpful. But you got to figure your own life out. But the Word of God is different. It's a faithful Word. My opinions and my experiences are nice, and they might be helpful at times. Same with your experience and your opinions. But don't confuse it with the Word of God. It's a very different thing. So, verse 9, Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Let's look at a few other translations. Let's see how else people translate gainsayers. Those who contradict, those who oppose God's word, those who contradict God's word. Yeah. People who oppose God's word. Yep. So the way we deal with those people is simply to hold fast the faithful word. As we do it, we can by sound doctrine, honest, clear teaching, we can exhort and convince those who want to contradict God's word. So God is faithful, and it's a great thing to look at these verses. I know we've looked at them all before, but what a great thing to remind ourselves that although so many things in the world may come and go, and situations may be good one day and terrible the next, or in between half the time, doesn't matter, because God is faithful. He'll provide. He'll protect us from evil. And all we have to do is be faithful to pray and to trust him. So Heavenly Father, thank you for these saints. Thank you for our time in the Word today. We pray for our fellowship weekend in 2 weeks in Ebony, that it can be a great time to review much material about why grace is sufficient for daily living. May it be a joyful time of fellowship, a time of learning, growing, praying together, and rejoicing in your goodness. And I pray for everybody to have a great few weeks in the meantime, and that every day we can wake up in the morning talking about your loving kindness and finish the day talking about your faithfulness. Thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.